Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. They say these words. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and he saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign of what he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. I want to thank Lindsay Gursky for sharing this morning. It's not always easy to share those times in our lives when we are most vulnerable. And yet it is in those times when God shows up and all the people that God has put in our lives, whether we know them or not, they come and they help us. In many ways, that is what the church is about, building a community so that all people can be cared for in their time of trial, so they know not only that God is with them, but so are the people that they are surrounded with. What a blessing it is to be part of a place that loves in that transformational way. When I hear the story of the feeding of the 5,000, I never fully understood that story until I was a freshman in college at Albion College, and I was part of the Wesley Fellowship group. Every Sunday night, a group of United Methodist students would gather for conversation and Bible study, but we would also receive a home-cooked meal from one of the members of Albion First United Methodist Church. Sometimes a meal would be brought by a member who would stay and talk with us all throughout dinner. Sometimes they would drop it by when we're gathering and greet us. And every once in a while, there was the miraculous meal that would be sitting there prepared as we were arriving, like it had come from nowhere. Now, Albion College is by far the best United Methodist liberal arts college in the state of Michigan. No one would argue that. But what you could say is that Albion's cafeteria food did not quite compare with a home-cooked meal. And so once a week, in this often miraculous experience, we were fed, we were cared for and comforted, attended to, and satisfied by the miraculous love of the members of the Albion Church. And each week, each meal, we felt more of that love given to us. Autumn and I were talking and remembering one man, a man named Bob. You may know a Bob, you may not know this Bob, but you all know a man like Bob. Bob cared for his wife who had fallen ill and had been in intense need of care for many years. And so the truth is, we never really saw Bob at church because he was the primary care person for his wife and he could not leave her but for long. But for a few minutes each semester, Bob would come and would bring us food and would share the meal with all of us college students. And every time that Bob came, we would enjoy our time with him. He was a gregarious guy, and also, he would enjoy the time with us. We had a special connection to Bob, even though it was only a handful of times each year that we would see him. In fact, when Autumn and I were getting married, Bob found out somehow that we were getting married at the Albion Church, and so he showed up to our wedding to wish us well. And I remember looking out into the sea of people, maybe not a sea, about 140 people, and seeing Bob and thinking, wow, that's really cool, as Bob was beaming with joy at our wedding. Our meals were miraculous in part because of what was shared. It was home-cooked food, but it was also connection and love. Something incredibly powerful happens when somebody reaches out their hand to help others, when somebody gives a part of him or herself to make sure that others know that they are cared for. Kind of like a small boy sharing some barley loaves and a couple fishes. And from that miraculous act, the power of Jesus Christ, an entire crowd of people being fed. There's great power in the action of the child who shared what he had, and the way that God is able to use it to satisfy the needs of the whole crowd. We hear in the story that there's maybe a little bit of doubt from the disciples. They say, do you know how much it would cost to feed this entire group? And they even say, this boy has something to offer, but it's not nearly enough. And yet this child comes forward in faith, bringing forward this gift to Christ. And there is good to be done, and he seems to know that through Christ, all things are possible. As I was reading this passage again many times this week, the phrase that kept jumping out to me as I was reading is that Christ tells his disciples, gather up what is left over as not to lose anything, so that nothing would be lost. Christ has moved in this situation, and upon blessing the gift from the boy, there is a move from anxiety over not having enough to the point where there is an abundance. For some reason, that resonates with me because there's so much left from the simple act of the boy that they have to make sure that it doesn't go to waste. Christ is naming the abundance of God's goodness in the form of leftovers. I kind of like that. Not only is God able to work through the boy and his fish and his barley loaves to change the encounter of the crowd, God blesses and uses this small child to bring about a great feast for those who have gathered to hear the good news that they were coming to hear from Christ. I find this act of the boy, this move from scarcity to abundance, and the unwavering goodness and power of Christ are so influential that they continue to speak across time and inform our faith even today. God continues to move us from anxiety to blessing, from scarcity to abundance. But God works through his creation to continue that story. Even today, we are called to act boldly, to live faithfully, and to embrace the power of Christ. Even today, we are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, in every way that we can, to help others to encounter that miraculous power of Christ. What can we do to be miraculous? What can we do to share the love of Christ with others? The story of the feeding of 5,000 continues to be relevant today as the miraculous work of God continues in and through those who God has equipped to change the world for others, to change the experience of those living in scarcity and help all people to see and feel the love of Christ. We too are called to share what we have, to use our gifts, our time, our talents, our testimony, and our treasures to honor God and to help others to know the goodness of Christ. We also shouldn't waste the gifts that God has imparted on us. Do not let it go to waste, like our scripture says this morning. But like the boldness of a child, we are not called to sit idly by, but to share what God has imparted to us so that together through the power of Christ, we too can move to become a church of abundance, to change the conversation from dollars and figures to unleashing Christ in our community and world. when I hear the story that Lindsay Gursky shared today and the stories that we've heard over the last 6 weeks from the families that have been in our videos and other testimonies, I know that this church has to continue to use our gifts. There are so many ways to share love and to share Christ, to enable the ministry of the church overall, but to claim Christ in our own actions and attitudes, to reach out to more families who may be in need, to extend a hand to somebody who has not yet known or felt that collective hug of the church. There are so many out in our community or our neighboring communities that are walking alone, and we have a chance to show them God's love. So we are called to act together. We are called to consider faith, what it means to not let our gifts be lost, but to use them for the good of others and for enabling the ministry of God and for creating a space to welcome all people in our church so that they know they have a place here. When we frame this in the lens of stewardship, we consider what God has given to us, to consider our blessings, the way that God has given us abundance, not just financially, but with the gifts of family and faith and friends. God calls us to be stewards of all that has been provided to us, to use what we have been blessed with as a catalyst for being a blessing to others, to think about those times of scarcity in our own lives, and to recognize the way that God was present and to recognize the way that God's people were present. We are called to do all the good that we can by all the means we can and all the ways we can and all the places we can at all the times we can to all the people we can as long as ever we can. 5 points to whoever can name who that quote is from. John Wesley. All right, 5 points. Good job. The founder of the Methodist Church. So in this season, we contemplate again what it means to do so. And one significant way to do so is to make a commitment to God, and to make a commitment to support the ministries and mission of this church. In your mail this week, if you haven't received it already, there will be a card in the mail. This card is tied to the stories of transformation that we've been hearing for many weeks now. It is a commitment card for you to prayerfully consider how you can support the church and its ministry throughout this coming year. Your commitment to the church is one way that you can bring your fish and barley loaves to equip this place, to honor God and to live out the love of Christ while transforming lives. What it will mean for the ministry of this church will be reflective of the new stories that we will hear, the new families reached, the stories of lives transformed, the stories of love being lived out, of giving and receiving, of knowing God more personally and growing in faith. Your commitment is between you and God, but no matter what you commit, as you consider, as you receive your cards this week, make sure that as you consider what it means, that you also consider what it means to boldly share what God has blessed you with and what it may mean for all the lives that are impacted by this church throughout the year. As we also encounter some new opportunities and some bold visions from the church, from our new pastoral leadership and those who are gathering to hear our stories and to see where we will go in the future, as we reflect upon who we are now and the work of God in this place to bring us into the future, I would encourage you to consider how you can commit to act faithfully and support sharing the love of Christ in the world. And with that in mind, I encourage you to support this church as a living and breathing example of what it looks like when love is lived out. If you have questions about what is going on in this place, if you are worried because you haven't yet received a card or some of the other stewardship stuff that's been sent out, I encourage you to come and talk to me or talk to Pastor Sean or any of our other pastors, and you can receive some of that information. But more than information, as we consider the boldness of this small child, as we think about the movement of scarcity to abundance through faith and the power of Christ's love in the world, let us live and breathe and act in confidence. All right. It's a joyful noise, even if it's not a joyful noise. What a blessing it is to have children in worship. That through God and Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to move in this place to transform lives. Through Christ, Let us be part of the bold act of faith. Let us bow our heads and pray together. Eternal God, we call out to you. Even in those times of scarcity in our lives, in those times of trials, God, we seek you. And what you tell us is that nothing will be lost, that you are a blessing to us, but also you call us to act boldly in faith, like that of a small child, to bring what we have to offer so that others may know of your love as well. God, you've brought us to this place, a place where all are welcome. God, your love does not discriminate. And so as we think about what that means for our lives, help us also to be loving. Help us also to not choose where our love may go, but to love unabashedly, boldly, faithfully in everything that we do. And as we go from this place, as we maybe share a meal together and share stories together this afternoon, God, help us to consider in faith the commitment we can make through you, through our time and our talents and our treasures and our prayers and our faith. In your holy name we pray. Amen.